Off the ball on News Talk.
Thanks to Screwfix.ie. Championing the trade with a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products.
So things are not good at Manchester United. That was laid bare at Anfield yesterday. We'll have Pat Nevin and Kevin Gilbaran talking to us on the show this evening. Katie Taylor, very impressive at Madison Square Garden. Maybe her best professional showing so far. We'll talk about that. And Munster come unstuck in France. Leinster do what they do. Ulster still in with a really good chance of progressing from Pool 2. Eddie O'Sullivan and Rory O'Connor with us on Monday Night Rugby. 53106, the text number. We are at Off The Ball on Twitter. Richie McCormack's here. Hello.
You okay? Do you need to get new glasses? You're holding that page very close to your eyes.
And Kevin Coban is here as well.
Hi, Joe.
Say it ain't so, Kev.
There we go. There we go.
I haven't seen you in so long.
Oh, it's great, isn't it? It's great. I've got a haircut and everything.
Going
to a big wedding on Saturday. Looking forward to it, honest to God, can't wait.
Where have you been for the last number of weeks?
No, I'll tell you something, dude, so just see. You never know what happens at a wedding.
Are you DJing the wedding now? Is that what you've been looking to do?
No, not at all. So, yeah.
It's good to have you with us. It's been some time since you were in studio.
Yeah, it's great. It's great to be here.
No, we're thrilled to have you. So you were at Anfield yesterday alongside young Nathan Murphy.
Yeah.
You watched a 3-1 win, which in truth was more of a kind of 5-0 hammering, really. 36 shots. When was the last time someone had 36 shots on goal in a game? It's outrageous. Liverpool had 36 shots.
A lot were from distance, but
still.
But I know. You come away from it, you're thinking, you actually feel sorry for United fans at the moment because you're going.
Let's not get carried away.
Well, okay then. But I think you're looking at United, and because I'm going over to, you know, virtually every weekend over the last couple of years, you're travelling over to Manchester, and you're either travelling.
Just done the maths there. It's a shot every 2.5 minutes.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is that right? Bloody hell. Jeez, that's unreal, isn't it? It is unreal, that.
It's outrageous.
Watch Joe's maths.
Yeah, that's probably true as well. But you're on the flight, and the amount of times that you're speaking to United fans on these flights when you're going over, and there's no.
Would you stop pretending you talk to the people? You are in the VIP lounge. You're on row one. You're out the door.
Such a
no eye contact.
Do you really believe that?
Do you
believe that? Yeah.
That's
what you think, that's fair enough. But
Manchester United fans are miserable.
Joe, can I just say, some people actually talk to others. You know, we show an interest in people. That's the thing.
Yeah, Richie.
Sexual tension between you.
Yeah, Richie.
Which is just never smooching it over.
So yeah, it was awful watching United. And take nothing away, Liverpool were just so good. Liverpool, I think Liverpool are getting better. I think Liverpool are now getting to where you would expect them to be, I think. Because they haven't necessarily, even though the results have been going for them, they've not been hitting top gear. They've not been as good a watch as they probably were last season. Mm. Whereas now you've seen Liverpool.
They're starting to score goals in threes and fours.
Yeah, full tilt. Last week at Bournemouth, I saw them. I only saw bits of the Champions League game against Napoli, which apparently was very good again for a majority of the game. None of the conceded chances. And then Sunday, excellent. Really, really good performance from them.
How that front three looking?
Looking good, very good, yeah. The three are starting to come too, because you're going into the game, none of the three have scored against United. That's something that's going against them. Mourinho's record against Liverpool's very good in the Premier League, so that's something that was going against Liverpool yesterday. Mm. But Klopp, the way he gets the team motivated, he doesn't. It's just one game. Look, let's put what's happened in the past aside. I'm sure that was mentioned to every one of the players, particularly the front three. Put it all aside, it doesn't matter. This is today. You go out and play as well as you can and we will get a result. We are better than them.
That seems to be the complete opposite of what's going on at Manchester United. That the last 4, 5, 6, 10 games is absolutely informing everything about their mentality.
It is.
I think we're past the point of whether or not Mourinho gets the sack. It's just, when is it going to happen? Who do they replace him with is actually a tricky question. Mm. There's no obvious candidate who will go there.
What I don't know, what do you do? And we could throw all sorts of names around.
So let's say Pochettino says absolutely not.
Yeah.
And let's say, I mean, there's talk of Zidane, but let's just say for a second we're not so. Zidane feels like a punt still. It's an outrageous thing to say about a manager who's won 3 Champions Leagues.
Yeah.
But it was a specific set of circumstances at Real Madrid that are very different.
It was a motivational role he had to go into. And I think there's probably an element of motivation going to United, but there are a lot more issues.
Who's next on that list?
Well, would a manager look at that club the way it is now and the way Mourinho was treated in terms of how he was financed last summer and will possibly be financed this January and think, I don't have to battle against that boardroom, to be honest with you.
The thing, though, is I think the reason that Mourinho had to battle against that boardroom is that he had spent 400 million. He spent 400 million in two and a half years.
Richie, wage bill. That's the thing.
I absolutely appreciate that. But surely it would have been a case of sacking
him
then.
It's not transfer fees now, and we know that. United's wage bill is creeping up and up and up. So they're paying 50 million last summer for Fred. Fred immediately goes through that door on 100 grand a week plus. So that's 5 million of that budget. talk of a 4 years, that's 20 million. Or it'd be more than, it'd be more than 5 million, I'm sure. It's probably 6 or 7 million that he'll be on, 125, 150 grand a week. So you're looking at across the board, there's more probably United players on that type of money than there are at Liverpool. Mm. That's the thing. So it's not the transfer fees, it's the problem to him.
Yeah. I think a new manager will be backed, but I'm not sure who it is. Who's third on the list after the Pochettino?
Conte, you've got... who else would be around Europe at the moment? So probably people would ring in. Allegri, yeah, Allegri. There's that type of shout. Would he fancy leaving Juve to come in and take that job? Luis Enrique, who's in, got the Spain job now, would he fancy going back into club management? He might be enticed by a Man United. He's one that's maybe been around the top clubs. Would Ancelotti maybe leave Napoli? You know, these are the names. It's the same old names. Or are they going to take a punt and go, I'll tell you what, we'll go with a young coach?
Eddie Howe.
Would you go with Eddie Howe?
No.
Well, there you go. So, or would you go with it? Like, a lot of the clubs now are going with young. Like, look at Southampton. I'm not saying United would do that, but they've gone with a German coach, a left field German coach, plays pressing. He will eventually start to implement a pressing style of football. Will he do that? I don't think they will. It's too much of a risk for United to do that. They have to go for a big game.
For the absolute rebuilding job, regardless of who they get in, regardless what style that he implements on the pitch, the amount of care that needs to take place with that squad is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
There's so much deadwood in there. Like, you talk about players and wage bills and all that, you can talk about four or five players off the top of your head, the Marcus Rojos, even the Freds at this stage, that you could just trim away from that squad and absolutely nobody would miss.
Rojo played left back against Valencia last week. He was dreadful.
It's such a mishmash. So Ferguson goes and then Moyes comes in and it's a bit of a mess, buys one or two players here and there. Van Gaal bought so much deadwood. It's off the charts how much rubbish Van Gaal brought in. Just player after player. The Darmian types. Daley Blind, I know he's gone now. These types.
And again, it's
just
the wages, Joe.
Yeah, but so ordinary.
It's difficult.
And he brought in so many of them.
It's difficult to move them on. I'm sure United are probably paying Memphis's wages still. They're probably paying...
Memphis Depay.
Yeah. They're probably a part of it. They're probably paying Daley Blind's wages to an extent.
Ironically, Depay has now scored 33 goals and created another 33 goals in 86 appearances at Lyon since he got the hell out of Old Trafford. Where he did an interview yesterday in the Sunday Times. Van Gaal was telling him he was practicing too much, he was trying too hard just to do nothing, but then wouldn't play him either.
Yeah.
There's text in, Kev's back, hooray, it's Christmas miracle, says Aisling. Aisling, thrilled to see
Thanks,
you, Kev.
Aisling.
Yeah. There you go. I said hi to Kev in Liverpool Airport after the Everton versus Palace game in October.
Oh.
I got a real death stare in front of my girlfriend too, sad face.
Jesus, you and Kenny just not having the public in airports.
That rings true to me. I believe that.
I can't accept that.
Lads, where did you get the elf on the shelf? I can see it hanging over Richie's shoulder there. They're like hen's teeth. Are they? I'll give you €10 for them.
Genuine ones, are you?
Leam and Enniscrone.
Yeah, good.
Lovely part of the world, Enniscrone.
We've got one at home.
Have you been to Enniscrone?
Used to spend a lot of summers there.
Did you?
Back in the day, yeah.
So did I.
I thought you'd never left Dublin in your life.
No.
Have you actually seen
it? What era were you there? No, hang on. What era were you there?
Hang on, hold on a minute. Early 90s, early to mid 90s a lot, yeah. Like Battles Bar and all that kind of stuff. Would have known that quite well.
Richie, we shared that beach on many a summer's day, I'd say.
Christ.
Yeah. You wouldn't have talked to him, Joe.
Don't ruin the memory.
Joe still doesn't talk to me in the office, for God's sake.
I'm often busy. I'm busy.
Oh, sorry.
He's watching himself on Twitter.
I'm trying to hold this thing together, critically, by the way. Hi, lads. Just saw a stat from the Liverpool game yesterday. Every outfield player, including subs, had a shot at goal, says Kieran in Tyrrell.
No, that is a good one.
Yeah.
From both sides?
No, just Liverpool players. Yeah. I don't think every United player had a shot. Somehow.
Diogo Dalot, shot from distance.
Yeah, so... it's just a mess. We'll talk to Pat and Evan at 7:30. We'll play some what Mourinho was saying and Klopp was saying post-game. You can boil Mourinho's explanation down to, I just don't have the players. Mm. He went through all his teams. He said, at Porto, I could do this. We were the best team at winning the ball back and counter-attacking. At Madrid, we could counter-attack better than anyone from deep in our own half. At Inter Milan, we were the best team at sitting deep. He went through all his teams. He said, with this team, don't know what to do.
This Sharon Muggs.
Who have I got on the bench? £90 million Paul Pogba.
Only one thing I would say to that is, look what Jurgen Klopp took over at Liverpool and the level that Liverpool were at the time when they were on the knees a little bit, and how he lifted them. How he got he's injected a lot of quality into the side, but he did have quality players in there that weren't performing. What did he do? The motivation, he got them right. And there's a lot of players that are still at that club now that were there when he arrived.
Yeah.
Look what Guardiola did. Look at the prime example that will always come back to is Raheem Sterling. We'll always make that comparison. Look at Raheem Sterling, look at Marcus Rashford. I still think Marcus Rashford is technically a much more gifted player than Sterling. I think he's a better footballer all round. Yet it's how he's been coached and what they've got out of him that's taken him onto the next level.
Yeah. You reckon, or we understand, that potentially Manchester United, when they're sacking Mourinho, so Duncan Castle says it'll cost 24 million to get rid of Mourinho and his people.
No.
Yeah, at this stage. But should United exit the Champions League, then they'll save 7 million on Mourinho. He'll get 7 million less. So they could wait until March 13th, that is after the PSG game, on the assumption PSG beat them, to sack Mourinho and therefore save 7 million. Is the drudgery of the next few months worth 7 million?
Well, exactly. Are you going to risk not qualifying for next season's Champions League? That's the only thing.
They're 11 points.
It might be just to spite him. Just to shaft Mourinho. That's the only thing. Yeah, that's the only thing.
There was a point where Ed Woodward put his hand over his mouth and said something to Bobby Charlton yesterday. And then there was another moment where Ferguson and David Gill were in conversation and Ferguson just started shaking his head really slowly.
The parallels between United now and Liverpool early 90s, mid-90s, is just incredible. Those ghosts of the past sitting up there in the stands watching on, in the same way that even...
As well as
he did with Kenny, like the likes of Bob Paisley was still knocking around the club when he was there, and there were older pundits knocking around already working in TV and working in radio, and it's the exact same now for Manchester United. Your Rio Ferdinands and your Paul Scholes sitting in the studio.
Yeah.
Alex is sitting up in the stand watching down. Bobby's sitting there as well. So he's seen absolutely everything before, and they're all talking, they're all whispering, and they all know what's going to eventually happen.
No, it's amazing. And a bit like with the Liverpool, the great Liverpool side, because they were so great, all their former players populated the punditry booth positions. And now because Manchester United were so great, all the Manchester United greats populate the pundit positions. So it's the same thing. I had thought, I mean, the parallels are so apparent, but I had thought that maybe United's status as basically the richest club in the world would insulate them from that fall that Liverpool had. And now I'm starting to think there's a fair old chance United won't win a league for another 10 years the way things are.
Yeah. Unless, again, something seriously changes.
They could win one in 2 or 3. They just need the right.
You think?
It needs
a massive change, though.
But it does. But with a club that rich and with the right appointment management-wise, it could happen. It's not beyond the realm of possibility, but it is a big if.
Go to transfermarket.com, lads. Jose has spent £467 million. Klopp has spent £437 million. Compared the list of players, it's chalk and cheese.
I didn't know that figure. I know it'd be somewhere up around the similar sort of margin. But
what's the net spend, Joe? What's the net spend?
Also, interestingly, Mourinho picked out several Liverpool players yesterday.
Never happens.
So he talked about Robertson, Mane, Salah, Wijnaldum, Keita, Fabinho, and said, these are physical players that I don't have. And the interesting thing is, all of those players, bar Mane, were signed during the last 2.5 years that Mourinho's been at Old Trafford. So the recruitment is fairly shoddy as well. And I think that is a legacy issue, because under Ferguson, it was a bit dated. You know, Martin Ferguson, his brother, was doing some of the scouting. They didn't have a great infrastructure in place. So I think United have been caught cold when it comes to recruitment.
But even like, you look at the talk around the club now, they're like talking about spending another 80, 90 million on Koulibaly at Napoli, for instance, to solve their defensive crisis, or players of that ilk. Like, that's basically what they're talking about now. Whereas if you look at Liverpool, yeah, they spend like millions on the likes of Salah and the likes of Fabinho. But picking off Robertson and Shaqiri from relegated clubs, no one's saying that Shaqiri wasn't a fancy player. But having the wherewithal to go, do you know what? They were actually decent, despite the fact that the team they were playing in was rubbish.
Yeah. Lads, Enniscrone is a beautiful little town. Have you been to Enniscrone, Kev?
No, yes, Matt. No, I haven't, no.
It's a must visit, I would say.
Is it?
Yeah, beautiful.
There's a lovely electronic song written by Elaine May, who was released about it last year as well. Enniscrone, because she was up around that part of the world too.
Pass me by.
I get to listen to Richie from 10 p.m. tonight.
10 till 12 on News Talk.
Or not, you know, whatever. Was there... We could hear JP like that one.
Love. Do you know, love BT Sports coverage of the rugby at the weekend.
Did you, yeah?
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
No one has BT.
The presenter looks very smart.
Yeah.
Handsome chap, good-looking fella.
Some might say he's a rich man's Joe Malloy.
Wouldn't worry about BT, it's not free to air. Lads, Leinster against Toulouse, 12th of January. It's on Virgin Media, but whatever. We won't have to talk about that now.
Sure, Leinster are already through. Why would you watch it?
They're not already through. They're second in their pool.
They're going to be grand.
Enniscrone's a beautiful little town. It's a crunch game. Enniscrone, beautiful little town. Was there during the summer. I must have eaten 19 toasted ham and cheese sandwiches while toasting a day surfing over a pint.
Did a cracking chipper there that I can't remember the name of. One of those chippers I had a sit-down part of it.
I'll definitely go there.
Great sand dunes as well. The golf course is fantastic as well, actually. Joe, wearing that sweater, you belong in a beer ad for some trendy IPA-type brew. I can see the poster now.
You belong in a 70s ad for McCardle's or something like that.
Yourself, some lad with a beard and a raven-haired Irish beauty beside the bar, says Anna.
So,
I'm not
some
an IPA
lad with
man.
A beard, raven-haired Irish beauty.
I'm definitely not an IPA craft beer type.
Too wheaty.
I hate all that.
It's like drinking liquid Weetabix. They make you bloaty.
Give me something corporate. That's me. I have no interest in it at all. It's nonsense.
Man of the people, Joe Malloy.
Anyway, right, we've got to move on. Pat Nevin will join us in about 15 minutes' time. Let's start the news round. And so Robbie Henshaw's out of some Six Nations games, yeah, and now Ian Henderson as well. By the way, Six Nations schedule is not pretty. So you got England first, and then you got a quick turnaround for Murrayfield.
Yeah, I saw the Twitter clip with you at the weekend as well, talking about that.
I'll just finish though, because we had such a great lineup this year, gone with France and then Italy and then a rest week. You know, it just shaped up lovely. Whereas, so you go England at home, that'll be very tough, obviously. Then quick turnaround, Murrayfield. Then you have a rest week, Italy. Then another rest week. So your rest weeks around Italy are a waste of time. And then you're into France at home with a six-day turnaround before Cardiff away for the final day of the year.
Yeah, but that rest week before France and yeah, Wales would be well used.
Six-day turnaround. Tell Kevin if he's in Anascronius to try the seaweed baths from Donal and Galway. I will.
Famous seaweed baths, yeah.
Agree with that wholeheartedly. Brilliant.
Right. When did you do the seaweed baths? You're a nipper.
My mum's from basically Anascronius, between Anascronius and Ballina, so I spent a load of time getting there.
Yeah, oh, well, that's where I was there. My mum's met West Reilly, yeah.
Is she?
Yeah.
Where is she from?
She was from Drumshambo initially, and then she moved out to Sligo. Oh, her dad was in the police, and she was kind of posted all around.
She's a man from the West as well.
Okay.
All roads lead from the West.
I feel like a native of Enniscrone. This is proof that we don't talk in the office, that we know none of this stuff about each other.
Exactly. I went, yeah.
Right, we actually
have to move on. Richie would never tell. You'd never think Richie was from anywhere else but Dublin. He's never left Dublin in his life.
We have to start the news round.
Yeah.
Our discipline here is
entirely. I would want to say just one thing, though. No, I need to say one thing, though. Yeah. Listen to your pay-per-view yesterday, just talking about rugby and about the impact on young kids coming into the game and the physicality on sport as well. It might be a bit strong for this now, but I really like listening to that, Joe, so I just want to say that.
Do you know that? Well, touching that among that rugby, it's a shocking thing I hadn't fully realised. So
I did. I really like listening to that. I think it's more relevant now, I think, when we're chatting around. It's something that jumped out at me. When you were on doing it yesterday.
If people didn't see it, this year in France, three players 20 or younger have died playing rugby. So there was a 19-year-old at Stade Francais last week. He broke his neck in a tackle. We shouldn't skirt around the facts. He broke his neck and he went into cardiac arrest and he died at Stade Francais. And then I'm talking off the top of my head here, but in August there was a player in the second division who was 20, former France under 20. He died. There was a collision and he was vomiting in the dressing room. Afterwards, emergency services were called and he died that day. And then in May, there was an amateur player, 17, in a collision and passed away the next day. Now, I don't have that 17-year-old's medical history, but it's generally accepted the collision was the issue. So that's just me speaking from memory. We'll talk about it on Monday Night Rugby. The French sports minister has met with Bernard Laporte. There's been a big, big discussion in France about this whole area and the game. Dave Walsh did a big piece about it yesterday in the back page of the Sunday Times. We talked about the pay-per-view, that's where you heard it. I would think yesterday any household with rugby playing teenagers,
yeah,
who with the Sunday Times, there was awkward conversations and over breakfast.
Another thing as well that was said as well, Joe, again, it was about lads now that have been coming through the academies. I think, who was it? Sorry, it was on with just, it was Marie Crowe. Who was it, Joe?
Alan English. He
was talking about one of the guys from his son's team. He got to a certain level and physically he wasn't up to the task. So all of a sudden, we're dropping in lads from South Africa, we're dropping in lads from around the world, wherever it would be, into his position. He's deemed going through the system.
Yeah.
Now, you know what I think about this as well? I don't agree with your CJ Standers and your Bundiakis. I don't agree with it. I don't know how it can happen.
It's a separate issue, but yeah.
It's a similar sort of issue, isn't it? You're coming into
it is. Yeah.
I can't get my head around it all. And particularly if something that's jumping out with what you were saying as well about these deaths and about the physicality that's within youth rugby, it's amazing, really.
It's a scary time.
It is unreal.
So, I mean, the worrying thing is nobody has a great solution. How do you have rugby without the physicality, you know?
I know.
So, we'll touch on that with Eddie and Rory O'Connor after 8. I think, Kev, you and I should shut up for a few minutes here and let Rich get through some stories. So, what we were about to say was Robbie Henshaw out and now Ian Henderson too.
Yeah, Ian Henderson undergoing thumb surgery today. It appears it's been a lingering issue. He's been ruled out for up to 12 weeks, which would mean he misses the majority of Ireland's Six Nations campaign. He played the full 80 minutes of Ulster's 30 points to 15 Heineken Champions Cup win over the Scarlets on Friday. He scored a pair of tries in the process, but will miss those up to 12 weeks, as I say. It seems to get this injury out of the way now in time for the World Cup. While Ulster also confirmed today the flanker Matty Ray suffered a broken thumb while in club duty and will be out for between 8 and 10 weeks. The Premier League leaders will face the current Bundesliga champions in the last 16 of the Champions League. Liverpool have been drawn to face Bayern Munich in Europe's top club competition for the first time since 1981. Elsewhere, Manchester City and Tottenham will also face German opposition. City will be away from home in the first leg of their tie with Leroy Sané's former club Schalke, while Tottenham will welcome Bundesliga leaders Borussia Dortmund to London for their first leg. That game most likely at Wembley and not Tottenham's new stadium, by the way. And meanwhile, Manchester United, for their part, will welcome the likes of Kylian Mbappe, Neymar and Edinson Cavani to Old Trafford, with the Jose Mourinho side facing PSG. Sticking with the United manager, and the Football Association said it won't appeal an independent decision to dismiss a charge against Mourinho for using abusive language. The Manchester United boss was accused of making insulting remarks towards a camera following their Premier League game with Newcastle in October, but a commission found in Mourinho's favour and the FA won't contest that judgment. Yesterday's 3-1 loss at Liverpool leaves a major question mark hovering over the future of the United boss. United's Champions League exploits, as Joe mentioned, may have a major impact on the decision-making process surrounding Mourinho. Should he be sacked now, United will be contractually obliged to pay a fixed compensatory term to Mourinho and his team. However, Off the Ball understands that a Champions League exit in the new year will see Mourinho's compensation package reduced by £7 million. Elsewhere,
do you think the players might throw the PSG game just to cost Mourinho £7 million quid?
Can't see it anyway. Can't see them in that, can you? You know, I would say as well, in relation to Liverpool, Van Dijk is out of that first leg as well.
Yeah. Who are, you, are all the English sides going through aside from United? Spurs, Dortmund.
Spurs have a tricky.
Spurs, Dortmund, yeah, I think that is a bit more 50-50, but I fancy Liverpool. I think Liverpool have got too much for Bayern.
Okay, yeah, and City will go through.
City, yeah, 100%, yeah. I think, yeah.
Arsenal, they'll be away to Belarusian champions Bate Borisov in the first leg of their Europa League last 32 tie. Chelsea will also be on their travels for their first leg. They're going to be up against Malmo. While Celtic's reward for progress from the group phase is a meeting with Valencia, a side parachuting out of the Champions League for Manchester United's group. Very unlucky for Celtic there. Chris Farrell is again a doubt for Munster ahead of this Friday's Pro 14 meeting with Ulster at Kingspan Stadium. The centre missed Saturday's Heineken Champions Cup loss to Kast with a thigh injury and will continue to rehab the problem this week. However, both Darren Sweetnam and Dan Goggin are back in the fold ahead of the trip to Belfast. Former Munster forward Alan Quinlan was on this morning's OTB AM and was asked about the cynical nature of the Kast play on Saturday, particularly a late hit by Thomas Combezou on Joey Carberry. Quinlan says he would not have shown the same type of restraint that he witnessed from the current crop of Munster players.
Kast discipline was a disgrace, and I thought they were a disgrace, and I've no problem saying that. And if that's the way they want to play rugby, it should be dealt with by the officials, and it should be, you know, their ambition with the ball last week in Thomond Park was deplorable, and they went out to just to try and beat Munster up. And
but they won.
People will say, yeah, they won. Yeah, people will say, yeah, like you say, well, Munster should have managed the game. They should have fought fire with fire. Times have changed a little bit. I guarantee if one of the Munster players steps up and punches someone or lay tackle someone, they'll get picked up for it. But they'll still be regretful. Take all those incidents out of the game and they'll still be angry and frustrated that they didn't play the game.
We'll get thoughts from Eddie O'Sullivan and Rory O'Connor after 8 o'clock.
Rob Kearney returns to Leinster training this week, having missed Saturday's Heineken Champions Cup thrashing of Bath at the Aviva. The fullback missed that game with a dead leg, though Kearney remains a doubt for this Saturday's Pro 14 meeting with Connacht. However, he will train with the squad this week. New Laois hurling manager Eddie Brennan has voiced his frustrations at assembling his panel for 2019. The O'Moores were beaten 223-118 by Carlow in the Walsh Cup at the weekend. And speaking to our colleagues at Midlands, Brennan pointed towards the reluctance of a number of players to join up with the senior Laois panel under his stewardship.
It's very disappointing. It's something I just do not get. I just can't understand why lads would not want to hurl for the county. To me, if you excel at with your club, there should be a drive and a grow to do that. And I think it's something that, I suppose I said it from the start when I came in here, I think it's something that has to be challenged a little bit. I think it's I don't know, it's that frustrates me. But if lads don't want to come in, I said to them all, anyone I spoke to, there was no gun to anyone's head. There was certainly going to be no pressure from my end of things. I don't think anyone should be begged to come in and play for their county.
He might understand it, but it's a raw deal at county level now. You give so much of your time, you sacrifice your career, you sacrifice your family life. If you're playing for Laois, realistically, what are you going to achieve is what the players are saying to themselves. So it's far from it being hard to understand, it's actually a story which is on the increase, and every county increasingly outside of, you know, Dublin or counties that are in with a chance of winning in All-Ireland, they're seeing the same thing. Managers are complaining all the time. Lads either can't commit because of the time commitments or don't think it's worth it. So
that leaning on the pride in representing a county thing just isn't enough anymore.
No, not when lads have families and commitments. And you know, what do they do? 33, 34, and they realise they've given up the best years of their career or the foundation years of their career. So, you know, you've got to really be sure it's worth it. And lads, I think, understandably, at times aren't.
Good news if you're Louth today. The County Council there have today given their backing to Louth GAA's purchase of a 10-acre site for the building of a new county ground. An €8 million, 12,000 capacity stadium is to be built close to Dundalk IT. The news comes as a massive boost to the Louth County Board after negotiations surrounding an expansion of the Gaelic grounds in Drogheda collapsed earlier this year. One final story. Liverpool have led the well wishes for Michael Robinson, who's announced he's suffering from an incurable form of cancer. The former Republic of Ireland striker says he has advanced melanoma skin cancer. Robinson made the news public on radio in Spain, where he spent the last three decades working, adding he's determined to beat the disease.
Sad news, wish him well.
Yeah, ex-Preston man as well, played for Preston North End, of course. I've met him a couple of times, I don't really know him, but yeah, that's very sad news, yeah. Very sad news.
That's the news round done for this evening. We'll take a short break. Pat Nevin's going to join us on the far side and we'll talk Liverpool United.
Off the ball on Newstalk.
Thanks to Screwfix.ie. Championing the trade with a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products.